This is exactly what I needed. The scotch travels down my throat, and it helps to loosen up everything inside me. I arrived at my estate earlier today, but as soon as I walked in the door, my mother found me and started running down a list of everything I needed to know while here. With one of the Prices coming into town, she wants me to find out what he's up to and get to the bottom of what the real estate mogul plans to do with it. He won't be here for a few days, though. I decided to loosen up with a few drinks down at the pub. What's the harm in a little downtime? Besides, I have my reputation as a drunken womanizer to keep up, apparently. I groan at my mother's words replaying in my head. Now I find myself at the Carpenter's Arms, taking a swig of my drink. Surprisingly, it feels good to get away from the hustle and bustle of London. It feels good to be home. I stayed away way too long. After sitting for a few minutes to enjoy my drink, I finally look up to see Robin, the bartender, looking over my shoulder with wide eyes. Even in the dark and musky bar, I can tell he's in shock. I wonder what he's looking at. I take another swig, but eventually, curiosity takes over, and I find myself turning around. What greets me leaves me wide-eyed as well. Who is that? She's gorgeous. Probably the most stunning woman I've ever seen. She's tall and lithe like a ballerina, with long brown hair that sweeps over her shoulders to fall below her full breasts. I'm sure I've never seen her. I would have, without a doubt, remembered such an exquisite creature. I scan her over, perusing her body. It's clear she doesn't belong here, and it's not just her clothes that make her out of place. She's not in the normal attire one would expect in a pub like this. Jumper and whatnot. No, she's in heels, at least 5 inches, and wearing a pantsuit. But what makes this woman stand out even more than her clothes are her eyes. She looks uneasy as her gaze sweeps across the space, and she scrunches her nose. My brow furrows with curiosity as I continue to watch her. With what appears to be a hesitant step, she walks toward the bar.
Time to go home. I move to signal for my bill, but I feel Oliver's hand touch my shoulder.
It's on me, he says as he nods to the bartender. On my tab, Robin.
Normally I would make a show of objecting, but in my current state of inebriation, I don't bother. Instead, I grab my purse and stand, but stumble instead, a full laugh escaping my mouth as I do. Lifting my hand, I try to stifle it, but that too is a lost cause.
You are not driving, love.
He reaches his hand out to steady me. His fingers wrap around my wrist, the rough pads of his fingers sending shivers up my spine and making me feel lightheaded from the heat radiating between us.
Addison, I remind him.
Not love. I'm no one's love. And you're not driving me, I respond, trying to remove his hand from my wrist. I need to break this connection. Just the touch of his hand makes me feel things, and I don't want to. Anything more will be bad.
You're sourced.
I lift a challenging eyebrow, and then I nod. I am. Then the reality dawns on me. I am drunk, very drunk. In a foreign country, unable to drive, I let out a groan.
What's wrong?
I don't answer right away, my mouth opening and closing like a drowning fish. Placing my head in my palm, I groan, because I don't want to call Jasmine to pick me up.
I can get you home.
I'm sure you can, Romeo. I roll my eyes.
Not like that.
His voice breaks mid-sentence, as if in shock that I would assume that. But that's not what I meant. So I clarify. I'm not getting in a car. You're drunk, too.
Not that drunk. He shrugs. But I have an idea.
Oh, this I've got to hear. I sit motionless, waiting. He leans in closer, a smirk lining his perfect face.
Let's get food, he says,
and the corded muscles in my neck loosen.